So we're going to start with the preliminaries now. I have a sad announcement to make. Some of you may not know that we lost one of our stalwarts this week. Ben Rogge finally lost his long battle on Monday. He was a past director of this society whose keen wit and worthy commentary graced the platform of a number of our meetings, and we will miss him very much. If you arrive late for this dinner and haven't checked in at the hotel yet, please do so as soon as our speaker is concluded tonight. Checkout time is 1 o'clock tomorrow. If you wish to keep your room after that hour, please try to make your advance arrangements with the room clerk. Our program tomorrow will begin at 9 o'clock sharp. I trust you have noted on your program the opportunity to preview a new television presentation after this event is over. It's produced by Bob Chittister, the mastermind who developed Milton Friedman's series Free to Choose. The title is The War Called Peace. That film will be shown in this room later this evening. I hope you have noticed that there are four books for sale out in the area where we had our refreshment hour, all by authors who are appearing on our program. Arno de Borgrav's The Spike, Harold Rood's Kingdom of Blood, Kingdom of the Blind, Norman Potterett's The Present Danger, and Otto Scott's expose of the powers behind John Brown, The Secret Six. The national meeting of our Philadelphia Society will take place in Chicago at the Drake Hotel, April 10th and 11th. Members, please mark your calendars. Guests, if you like this and want to come back, you'd better tell your sponsor. Finally, let me put in a plug for the book of the speeches from our last annual meeting. The title of that book is Belief, Faith, and Reason. It's being published by Christian Journals Limited in Dublin, Ireland, Belfast, Ireland. And it pleases and astonishes me to report that the publication seems to be on schedule, and we expect to have copies in a few weeks. You were given an announcement sheet with your registration, but I am sure that all of you will want to review the remarkable speeches there and put copies of that volume in the hands of your friends and colleagues among the clergymen and religious philosophers. Now for the main event. There are precious few foreign correspondents of our time, and even fewer novelists that this audience would assemble to hear. But of those in either category who might qualify, none would rate higher than this evening's speaker. Arno de Borgrav is what might be called a citizen of the West. He was born in Belgium, educated there and in England, served in World War II with the British Royal Navy, and was thereafter decorated for naval service by the Belgian government. Is one of America's most respected journalists, having received the Overseas Press Club's prize for best magazine reporting. His home is in Switzerland. He has recently been designated the awardee of the Medal of Honor by two organizations, the U.S. Defense Council and the World Business Council, the latter having given the same award most recently to General Alexander Haig. Before being named senior editor and chief foreign correspondent for Newsweek, he had a variety of overseas assignments for that magazine and earlier with the United Press and as a freelance writer, stretching back over 34 years. I should tell you that the affiliation with Newsweek was recently terminated. You, program chairman, may wish to note that of his availability to speak and bring enlightenment hither and yon for a reasonable fee. Alexander Cruden, the national editor of the Detroit Free Press, interviewed our speaker and he wrote, quote, "He travels constantly and exchanges thoughts with world leaders and espionage veterans as a matter of course. He has covered 17 wars. In Vietnam, he covered the war so closely, he was wounded 3 times. To report on the 1973 Egyptian-Israeli conflict, he took an 18-hour taxi drive across the desert and jumped into a tank to become the first Western correspondent across the Suez." End of that quote. He is the author of a book offering recommendations for U.S. foreign policy entitled Toward a Wiser Colossus. And of course, as you know, with Robert Moss, he co-authored The Spike. Apart from the election of Ronald Reagan and a host of apparently sensible governors, state legislators, senators, and congressmen, I doubt that there has been anything in recent years that has so heartened Americans of goodwill and good sense as The Spike's forthright and powerful expose of the willful ignorance of the American press concerning Soviet Russia. I am pleased to tell you that our speaker has agreed to answer questions at the conclusion of his talk, and you may want to phrase those as he goes along. You have our fervent thanks, Mr. DeBorgrov, for The Spike. We are proud and delighted to have you launch this conference. Help me welcome Arno DeBorgrov.